Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Zechariah, Perek Yud, Chapter 10. Zechariah, the last bunch of prekim in Zechariah, beginning with Perek Tet, which we learned last time, are different than the first eight prekim. These are visions of a future geula. There's no date, there's no time, there's no people that we're familiar with. So it's more difficult to root it in a specific historic period. But we're going to continue with the theme of redemption that we saw last yesterday. And then at the end, we'll compare what does that vision look like. How is it different in Perek Tet and in Perek Yud? So Perek Yud starts really kind of a continuation from Perek Tet. Shalume Hashem Matar Be'et Malkosh. Hashem Asah Chazizim U'matar Geshem Yitain Lahem L'ish Esa Basada. And he says it's a command. Shalume Hashem Matar. Ask Hashem for rain and he will send it. Malkosh is actually a rain that comes in the late season. There's different ways to understand this pasuk, but one way is to say they asked Hashem for rain, and even at the time of Malkosh, when it was later, Hashem will still follow through. Hashem will make storms. The chazizim are like the lightning and the thunder, and everybody will receive rain. Rain is always considered the ultimate sign of blessing, and there will be growth in the field. And in pasuk bet, now he goes back and he says, as opposed to when you ask something from Hashem and you get it, ki trafim dibru aven vikosmim chazu sheker v'chalomot hashav yedaberu hevel yinachimun. He says that when they did in the past, they've turned to trafim. Trafim are like those small little figures, idols, that they would turn to in order to ask for rain or to ask for success. And he says that's just giving you delusion. And those, the kosmim, that's those who would turn to those idols. They just prophesied for you sheker, falsehood. And those who dream, the dreamers, they were just telling you everything that was false. So whenever you turn to the pagan religion, it led you astray. Hevel yinachemun. They would comfort you with hevel, with nothingness. And he says, Al Kain, because of this, because you did this, nasu kemotzon ya'anu ki ein ro'eh, that Am Yisrael compared here to a herd of sheep. And that's going to be a metaphor that's going to continue with us in this parak. But Am Yisrael was traveled like tzon. Here I think it means that they're straying, like they're scattering. And was like tzon that have no leader, like sheep that have no leader. Ya'anu, they were suffering, ki ein ro'eh, because they had no one who was their shepherd. Meaning since they went astray and they were turning to the rites of paganism for their blessing and their future, they ended up like sheep that have no shepherd. In Pazu Gimel, he continues then and says that, you know, I fault the ro'im. I fault those who were supposed to be the shepherds. So in Pasuk Gimel, Al ha-ro'im chara api, v'al ha-atudim efkod. So I'm angry at the shepherds, and I'm also angry at the atudim. Those are like the goats that would be in the front of the flock, leading them. And Hashem says, I don't blame the people, but I blame the leadership, I blame the society. And here there's different opinions. Most of the parshanim assume that actually this is referring to the nations that were in charge of Bnei Israel when they were exiled and once they lost their sovereignty. So he this is saying that once the Geula comes, Hashem, not even just the end of the Geula, but Hashem will express his anger at all the nations who controlled Israel and led them astray. It's also possible that this is referring to the leaders, the Jewish leaders, you know, such as the kings, who are also compared in other places to ro'ims, to shepherds, and they should have brought them close and they didn't. But Hashem's anger will flare against them. Ki pakad Hashem tzvakot et edro, et Beit Yehuda. Because Hashem has remembered, efkod, it's interesting, pakad is a word that can be used for punishment, or it's also, it's a remembering, but it also could be a remembering for the good. So here, Pakad Hashem Tzvakot et Edro means Hashem now remembers his flocks. And who are they? That's Beit Yehuda, Yehuda. Visamotam Kisus Hodo Bamilchama. And he will make them like a horse, like the best, the most praised horse in a war. So Hashem will be angry at the leaders, the foreign nations that ruled over them, but Hashem will remember his nation, and they will be like a horse that is praised, the finest horse in war. And we're going to continue with that metaphor in just a minute. But then he says in Pasuk Dalet, Mimenu pina, mimenu yated, mimenu keshet melchama, mimenu yetze kol noges yachdav. So he says, now from the people of Yehuda, from them will come pina, will come like the cornerstones. From them will come the pegs, like the things that are used to establish and to build. And from them, mimenu keshet melchama, you heave the bows that they use in war. Everything is going to come from them. They're not going to always be dependent on others. It's going to be an internal ability to build, to fight. Perhaps it's also pina can be, and yated can be referring to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, not only physical, but also the spiritual. And therefore, then they'll be able to be strong from within themselves. And pasuke, vayu kegiburim bosim batit chutzot b'melchama v'nochamu ki Hashem imam v'hovishu rochvei susim. So they're going to be like giborim, like heroes, like warriors in a battle, and they'll be able to trample, presumably, the enemy in like the mud and the dirt of the streets, and they'll be able to fight. Because why will they be able to fight? Because Hashem is with them, and ultimately they will be able to vanquish the rochvei susim, those who ride on horses. Now remember, they were just compared to horses, and certainly the nations that have ruled over them, horses have been their sign of strength. We know that from Egypt, and we know that also Assyria, the horse was the sign of strength. And now Beit Yehuda is going to be able to rise up, be like a horse, and destroy the enemies. The parak then turns, and like actually we saw this in parak Tet, also the prior parak, and part of that vision of Geulah is the return, the ability for everybody to come back. And we know that Ephraim and the 10 tribes, the children have been lost since the time of Sennacherib, since the time of Assyria. So this vision of coming back, of return, is not only for Judah, who some of them have come back when they chose to come back, when Cyrus gave permission, but not everyone. But it's also the ability to return. We never forgot about the 10 lost tribes. We never forgot about Ephraim and Beit Yosef, the house of Joseph. They're also part of this vision of kibbutz galiot, of bringing everybody back. So pasuk vav, v'gibarti et Beit Yehuda ve'et Beit Yosef Oshia. I'm going to strengthen Beit Yehuda. That's the tribe of Judah, referring to here the southern kingdom. But also, I'm going to save Beit Yosef. We thought that they were lost, but I'm going to reach out. I'm going to save them. Ve'hoshvotim. I will bring them back, ki richamtim, because I have mercy on them. Vayu kasher lo zanachtim, ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, va'anem. And it will be like that when they come back, when I bring them back, it will be like I never threw them out. And because I am Hashem, and I'm answering them. And pasuk zayin, vayaki gibor Ephraim, v'samach libam kimo yayin. Ephraim will also be like a gibor, will also be strong, and will be happy as if they had drank wine. Ubanehem, and their children, maybe it won't be the original members of Ephraim who were lost, but their children will see Yeru, v'samechu, and they'll be happy. Yagel libam ba'Hashem. Their happiness will be in Hashem. Pasuk chet, v'ashrika, lahem, v'akabtzeim. So ashrika is to whistle. So we're going back a little bit now to that image of the herd of sheep. And Hashem says, I'm going to whistle, and then I will gather them. Meaning, remember we said that they went astray when they didn't have someone leading them. Now Hashem is back. And Hashem says, I will bring back all the exiles, and I will whistle, and they will come. Ki paditim v'ravu kemo ravu. And they will, because it's time for pidyon, it's time for redemption, and they will keep growing and growing. Ve'ezra'im ba'amim u'mirchakim yizkiruni v'chayu et b'nehem v'shavu. And even though they were thrown out and they were sent merchaked far away, I'm still going to remember them, and they will live, and they will raise their children, and they will return. And he mentions the places where they've been scattered. Vashivoti me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? In the south, I will bring them back from Egypt. Ume Ashur akabtzeim, I will bring them back from Assyria. Vel eretz Gilad ulivanon aviyem. And where am I going to bring them back? I'm going to bring them to the land of Gilad. Now that is on the other side of the Jordan. And livanon aviyem is, now we're talking about in the north, like Lebanon. And here it's talking about an expansive description of Eretz Yisrael. When I bring back all these people who have previously been exiled at the time of the Kibbutz Galiot, I'll need to expand Israel because there's going to be so many people. Because he says, I'm going to bring them back even to Gilad and to Livanon, v'lo yimatzei lahem, and there's still not going to be room because of all the abundance of people that are coming back. And the parak ends with a description of the people who are in exile, the Kibbutz Galiot, happening, their return happening through a Kriyat Yamsuf image, through the image of people who left Egypt and the way that they left Egypt. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Va'avar bayam tzara v'hika bayam galim v'hovishu kol mitzulot yor. He says that the sea, it's going to happen at sea. There will be like a big commotion in the sea and in the waves. And actually, even Ezra describes that what will happen is that the water will split, giving the people who have been exiled a way to come back to Israel in a way that is going to mirror the way their ancestors were able to leave Egypt and come back to Israel. And then ultimately, Behurad Gaon Ashur, and the pride of Assyria will come down. Assyria was known as being a very prideful nation. That pride will come down, Veshevet Mitzrayim Yasur, and the scepter of Egypt will pass, it will move over. So we have this like beautiful image of the Geula happening, and all the people who are exiled are going to come back, and they're going to come back, meaning including not just the people of Yehuda who suffered from the Babylonian exile, but also the Assyrian exile, the 10 lost tribes who were scattered, the children of Yosef. They'll also come back, and they'll come back in a Yitziat Mitzrayim type situation. Now, I want to go back for a minute before we close to the beginning. So we ended with this Kibbutz Galiot, but it's framed in this description of Am Yisrael, who are like a flock that has no leader, but then they're going to be strengthened. They're going to have strength from within themselves, and they're compared to a sus, to a horse, who hodoba milchama, who is strength and his glory happens in war. And it's interesting to contrast this description of Am Yisrael and the way that the Geula will happen through physical strength and prowess and war, right? The stepping on and the trampling of the other nations versus the description in Perek Tet, where the Geula came differently, and the description of the king there was Ani Rochev al Chamor, right? A humble leader riding on a donkey with no fanfare, who didn't need, and we pointed this out yesterday, he didn't need the horse because the horse is symbolic of war. This is going to be a time of peace. It's a Shalom Bein Hagoyim. There would be peace between the nations. So we have a very different model described here, right? The parak earlier was a model of peace without war, and the dominant image was of the chamor, of the donkey. And here we have the description of Beit Yehuda becoming like a war horse. And that's the image of how Geula will happen. There's a lot of ways that this could be explained. It could be that these are different visions of Geula, and there's different ways that this redemption can ultimately happen. It could be that these are stages. Maybe the war stage is the earlier stage, and ultimately the goal is that it will lead to the peaceful stage where horses of war and materials of war are not necessary, in a Yeshayahu type image. But it is interesting to think about all these different metaphors that can picture for us different ways that things can happen, and also different kochot, different strengths of Am Yisrael, both the physical strength and also the ability to be peaceful and to ultimately really our goal, which is to be able to have peace without the threat of war hanging over us. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel, Ben Saud.